Rebellion in a Perfect Universe. Commentary for the October 1, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. It is ironic that in a world of well over 7 billion individuals, so many complain of loneliness and an inability to find a soulmate. Dating apps like Match.com and ChristianMingle.com prosper from this widespread loneliness by holding out hope of finding that special other who is also waiting to be found, just as we are. Using programmed algorithms, they attempt to match like to like, but based on my own anecdotal research many years ago, flaws in that idea became quickly apparent. When people answer questions about themselves, they lie. They may not see it as lying. They may simply think they are helping the service find the type of person they are looking for, rather than a person who is like them. This means, despite the promises of computer-aided profiling, the hopeful aspirant may still need to kiss a lot of artificially generated toads before they find their prince or princess. The problem is exacerbated when individuals use photos from 10 or even 20 years ago in their profiles, pictures that may represent how they see themselves, but have long ago lost foundation in reality. But the problem does not end there. Suppose through luck we do meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright. Their profile seems to match their personality as you communicate, and their photo is accurate and up to date. Have we hit pay dirt? Is our loneliness coming to an end? Sadly, these services are populated with far too many people that I would call players. They have no interest in forming a lasting relationship with anyone else on the service. Instead, they are more interested in pretending they are wanting a relationship to block others' attempts at coming together. For instance, in a chat room, female A and male B may be starting to develop a friendship. At that point, female or male C will join the conversation in an attempt to steal away one of the two with flattery and expressions of adoration. Once the couple is broken up, the interloper leaves, leaving the two frustrated and alone, wondering what just happened to their budding friendship. Meanwhile, individual C chalks up another victory for making others miserable. Faced with such disappointments, more and more people seem to be turning to artificial intelligence applications to find companionship from a robotic partner that will always be there for them. These robots, projecting back at us what we want to hear and believe, some even willing to act out our most questionable fantasies, seem like the perfect answer to our loneliness, free of the challenges of typical human relationships. But if it is love we are searching for, is a robot capable of loving us? It may present that illusion by endorsing everything we find important, but being programmed to do so is different from choosing to do so. Real love does not work like that. Real love does not eliminate disagreements. It means remaining committed to one another despite conflict and working toward resolution together. That only happens when both parties commit to the relationship despite unforeseen challenges. Making that commitment can be risky. What if the other person does not value the commitment and would rather walk away from a relationship than save it? Should our desperation and fear of loneliness keep us in a relationship without mutual commitment? The Bible tells us that humanity was created in the image of God. What does that mean? John the Apostle told us that God is love. Therefore, we were created in love to love. Perhaps this is why we are so miserable when we are lonely. Our very being craves love, both to receive it and to give it. To some small degree, this may reveal to our own hearts the pain felt by God when we refuse his attempts to have a similar loving connection with us. When Adam and Eve chose to let another come in and damage their relationship with God, one could almost hear the tears in his voice when God came into the garden for his usual walk, and he cried out, "Where are you?" For they were hiding from him. The relationship was broken. They had chosen to go their own way. Rather than recognize their error and seek reconciliation, they blamed others, including God. Once everything fell apart, and the interloper went on his way with another successful temptation to add to his toll, Adam and Eve may have been left wondering what happened, just like our hapless couple in the dating chat room. How could such a thing happen? Eden wasn't a dating chat room, and the other party in this relationship was God. Why didn't God just eliminate the interloper? For that matter, why didn't he just eliminate humanity once he had defaced the love in the relationship he had with them? Love doesn't work that way. If we go around killing everyone who refuses to love us, we may find relationships with those who don't want to die, but the relationships would be based on fear, not love. In all fairness, there is unfortunately a lot of that in the Bible. "Fear me, or you will suffer," seems to be a repeated refrain in the Old Testament. But there may be good reasons why that distorted picture is there. Imagine if we went through a divorce and then our spouse got to write the history of everything that happened in the relationship. Would we feel that in every respect that account was accurate and fair? Or would we find ourselves disagreeing with how our ex-spouse presented our character and actions? The Bible writers were really struggling to see things from God's perspective, and at times did not agree about what God initiated and what he didn't. For example, when King David ordered a census of Israel, one writer says that God incited David to do the crime. Another later writer says that Satan was the instigator. Who is this instigator? He is a created being, a beautiful covering angel who became enamored of himself and, like Narcissus of mythology, turned his love from God to loving himself. Eventually, he challenged the creator who made him and found himself cast from heaven to the earth. Astonishingly, he managed to convince a third of the heavenly host to join him in his attempt to overthrow God and seize control of heaven. However, when we consider that he invented the lie and the inhabitants of heaven had never heard a lie before, it is not hard to see how he could have misled them into following him, even at the cost of their own lives, thinking they were on the side of truth. We have recently seen how easy it is for a lie to become truth to the point of inciting rebellion, even in the United States, a stronghold of democracy. It is mind-boggling that a third of the angels could be misled by a lie. Yet we seem to feel ourselves immune from deception, and like those angels, are willing in significant numbers to go to war, believing we are defending the truth. The Bible tells us a time will come when all the subterfuge will end, and all will acknowledge the love of God. However, for some, it will be too late. Like a divorce where the erring spouse finally sees the light, but their ex has remarried, and life has moved on. They admit their error, but they cannot reestablish the relationship. They have irretrievably lost something precious. For Satan, that moment came when his rebellion failed, and he and his angels were cast from heaven. There were no takebacks. Ever since, in ire, he has sought to move as many others as he could beyond that point of no return. He has been repeatedly frustrated by God's unfailing love, but like in heaven with the angels, he has found many still willing to follow a lie if they think they can gain by it. Unfortunately, technology has strongly aided his efforts. As the saying goes, a lie can circle the globe before the truth even has a chance to get its shoes on. Little wonder that we are constantly putting out fires all over the world, fires of rebellion and lust for power, just like the fire Satan sought to ignite in heaven. Maybe it's time we turn from the lie, choose to believe that God is love, and validate that relationship by loving according to the image he gave us at creation. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, as well as hundreds more commentaries, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.